Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Colossians chapter number one. You know, I was looking over the verses, it's just amazing to me how strategic God is. Here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, what we do is we go line upon line and precept upon precept. Maybe you don't know what that means. It kind of sounds a little weird to you. Basically, we choose a book of the Bible and we go verse by verse through that book. And at Easter time, I was thinking maybe we need to take a sidestep, talk about the resurrection, that sort of thing. I don't know where the verses will land and see what goes on. But today, as we approach the Word of God, isn't it such a weird coincidence that the verses were going to just so happen to be about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be Easter verse? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that weird that that coincidence would just happen? Y'all are staring at me right now. You know why? Because it's no coincidence. Don't you know that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who planned everything, who brought Jesus in the fullness of time, wanted us on this day to be in these verses? Today, maybe you thought you came here by accident. Maybe you thought you just picked a church out of the directory of churches that you Googled and you saw the Rock Church and you thought, well, I like rock music and so I'll go to that church. Maybe you received an invite card from a friend or a coworker and you just thought you just happened to come because of that invite card. Maybe you've been gone from church for a long time, and as you were driving by today, you just felt the presence of God, and you remembered how you experienced and loved being in the presence of God, and you turned into the parking lot, and you thought you were just coming to church, but you didn't even realize today that God had your steps ordered. Just like we happen to be in these verses today, you happen to be here at this church for this time, and God wants to speak to your life right here, right now. You're about ready to have a God encounter in this place today. It's a no accident. It is by divine appointment that God is going to speak to your heart today. Colossians chapter number 1, Easter 2018, this is the victory of the resurrection. The victory of the resurrection. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Look at what the next verse goes on to say. Verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, those words may not mean a lot to you. Just at a surface level reading, there's a lot of words that we don't often use in our everyday terminology, conveyed and redemption and talking about the blood. That might seem a little bit churchese to you. It might seem a little Christianese. Maybe you don't understand the fullness of that. But throughout the Bible, you will find that there are kingdoms at war. In fact, even in the book of Genesis, when we're introduced to God Himself, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning, God. God was there. He's the creator. He is the originator. He is the one who from eternity past always has been. And He's the one who always will be. Why? Because He's God. You say, well, I can't understand how that works. How could He be before everything else? I don't know either. I'm not God. See, He's incomprehensible. He's outside. His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And how can a finite being who's in time and in matter and space here understand an infinite being who's outside of time and space and our reality? See, He's God. And the very first time you hear God speaking in the Bible, He says these words, let there be light. Now, the Bible already told us that God had created the heavens and the earth, and darkness was over the face of the deep. But then God speaks, and God brings order out of chaos, and God is a God of order. God is a God who planned everything out. And the wisdom of God is greater than our wisdom. And so God speaks, and He says, let there be light. And He separated the light from the darkness. See, these two kingdoms have been at war from the beginning. We know that the devil, he rebelled against God, and he brought down other angels with him. And he was cast out of the presence of God. He was cast down to the earth. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. It was in an instant. It was in a moment he was cast out. And there God comes and He creates and He builds this planet. He builds the systems, all the ecosystems. You can find that all through the book of Genesis, chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. It talks about these things. But there in the garden, the kingdoms at war, here God sets up man and He gives him dominion and authority there in the garden. And the devil comes and he deceives the woman, but Adam rebels. And in that rebellion, he gave over the rulership and the authority, the keys, if you will, over to the devil. and the devil has had men bound. And we see here, look at what it says in Colossians chapter 1. It says he has delivered us from what? From the power of darkness. See, Jesus came. If you fast forward in the New Testament, the book of John, it's like the genesis of the New Testament. The Gospel of John, Jesus comes and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And the Bible tells us in him was life, and in him was light. And it says that the darkness could not comprehend it. Another word, if you look it up, really means it could not overcome it. See, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. The moment you flip on the teeniest, tiniest little light, that darkness has to flee. Do you notice that darkness cannot increase in darkness? It can only be dark in the absence of light. Therefore, when Jesus comes as the life and he comes as the light, the darkness could not comprehend it. It could not overcome it. Jesus came and he defeated the darkness. His kingdom is a kingdom of light, and his kingdom overcame the kingdom of darkness. And it says he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, there are some words there that we need to kind of take a look at. Notice the word conveyed up there. It really means translated or transferred. The imagery comes from, at the time, the Roman occupation. See, the Romans were masters at war. And when they went out to war, they would go and they would take over a nation. They would break down the walls of its capital city. They would utterly just desolate and decimate the place. They would tear it into ruins. They would take the people captive, and they would transfer or translate or convey those people out of their hometown, out of their capital, out of their cities, and they would drag them to Rome. And there in Rome, they would now give them a new place. They would give them a new home. They had to learn a new language, and they had to learn the customs of the Romans. And they became a part. They became a part of that new nation. See, Jesus, when he went to the cross, when he went to the grave, when he was raised again on the third day, the Bible says that he made a show of the principalities and the power. He paraded them around, and that he took the keys of the kingdom back. He now is the one who qualifies. He has the authority, and he took back the dominion and the authority on the earth. And now he's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, and now he's delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, Jesus ruined the devil's dominion here on the earth. He broke down the walls that the devil had built that separated us from God. And now he took captivity. He took all the people. He took all of those of us who were lost, who were in darkness, who were groping about, and who were blind. And now he's taken us out of our hometown of death and sin and the dungeon the devil had us in. And he's brought us into the kingdom of light. And now he says, I want you to learn the language of faith. I want you to learn the customs of the kingdom. I want you to be a part of the family of God. You now have a place in the kingdom of his dear Son. And notice it calls Jesus the Son of his love. Don't you know that God loved Jesus? I mean, you see that, don't you, in the Gospels? Here Jesus is. He's baptized in the Jordan River. He comes up out. The heavens are rent open. I love that imagery. Not just sliced, not rolled. No, they are rent. That means that they were never to be the same again. The Holy Spirit comes down out of the heavens like a dove descending on Jesus. And there he is. And a booming voice comes out of heaven. And what does it say? This is my Son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Jesus is the Son of his love. He did things that were pleasing to the Father. In fact, Jesus testified of himself, I always do those things that please the Father. Jesus is the Son of his love. But I want you to notice something, that as much as God loves Jesus, he did not withhold his life. Because in John the 3rd chapter, verse number 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God loved you, and he loved me so much that he did not withhold the Son of his love. He did not withhold Jesus, very bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He sent him to the cross, and he laid down his life willingly for you and for me all because of love. Notice what it goes on in verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, we think of redemption about a soda can, don't we? You turn in the soda can, you get 5 cents in California. But listen, this was no cheap redemption. This cost Jesus his life. He had to shed his blood for this redemption. See, the imagery is not that of a soda can here in the Bible. The imagery is of slavery. And they had a slave trade in those days, and a slave could be redeemed. He could be bought out of that position of slavery. If somebody had the finances and the wealth and the ability to buy that slave out of slavery, they could release him and free him from his bondage. See, that's the imagery that we find here. We were in darkness. The devil had us bound in chains. We could not redeem ourselves. We couldn't get out of it. We couldn't work our way out of it. But Jesus had the resources, and Jesus had the ability. Jesus qualified as the Lamb of God, and he purchased your redemption and my redemption with his precious blood that was poured out there at the cross. And now he's bought us out of sickness, out of death, out of darkness, out of slavery, and now he's redeemed us, and he's given us freedom to live in his kingdom. Notice it says redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We were all sinners in need of a Savior. Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, it wasn't enough that we were bound by the devil, but then we continued that downward spiral with our sin. We didn't have the ability in us to do those things that were pleasing in God's sight until he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. See, at the cross, we see some things about our redemption. First thing that we see is we see the ransom was paid, don't we? Jesus paid the price for you and for me. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy who created a boat. He built a boat. Oh, he loved that boat. My goodness, every time he would go to play with that boat, every morning he'd wake up, he'd grab his boat, he would hug it, he would kiss it, he carved it, he made little sails for it, he had little guys that he would put on it. And there he would take this boat to a little river by his house. And he would put the boat on a string so that he would never lose it. And he would play with that boat. He would oftentimes pretend that there were pirates attacking, or there was a sea monster coming up out. Or maybe he was on a long journey taking precious spices and oils and different things from far countries to a distant land. Oh, how much he loved that boat. One day the floodwaters raised up, and the torrent going through that river was faster than it ever had been before. And the little boy brought his boat out, hugging it and kissing it, and he threw it in the water there on the string, and it was really strong. But he was just pretending that there was a great storm coming against the boat. Well, wouldn't you know it, that water pulled on that string so hard and tugged on it so hard that eventually, because that boat was getting caught up in that string broke, and the boat was carried far away from that little boy. Even though he tried to catch it, he tried to run after it, he lost sight of it eventually, and he couldn't keep up with it. Oh, he cried and he cried, he cried. He wouldn't be consoled. He didn't eat any dinner that night. His mama couldn't help him. Days later, his mom said, "Well, why don't we go down to town? Let's go down to the town. Let's go do something different today." So she said, "Come on, get up, get dressed." And so he got dressed, got ready, and went with his mom to the town. And there they were in a store. It was kind of a secondhand store, if you will. Different items, different things that had been used before. And so they're walking through, just taking a look at all the stuff. And wouldn't you know it, he looks up on the shelf there in the store, and there's his boat. Oh, my goodness. It's the boat that he lost. It's even got the string that's broken on it. He's so happy. He grabs the boat. He hugs it. He kisses it. He says, "It's my boat. I can't believe it. It was lost." And so he starts to walk out of the store, and the shopkeeper says, "Hey, you can't take that boat. That's not yours." He says, "Oh, but yes, it is. I made this boat. I love this boat. I played with it. Look, the string broke. This is my boat." And he says, "No, you lost that boat, and I found it. And when you lost it and I found it, it became mine. You have to purchase that boat." He says, "But I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I left my piggy bank at home." And he says, "Well, listen, you've got to pay for that boat. You can't just take it. That's my boat." And he says, "Well, how much, sir?" He says, $1. So the boy set the boat back down. He says, "Well, can I go home and see how much I have?" And he said, "Yeah, go ahead. But the boat stays here." So the little boy asked his mom, "Can I go home?" And she said, "Sure, honey, go ahead." So he runs home and he breaks open his piggy bank and he starts counting all the coins. And wouldn't you know it, everything he had amounted to $1. He scraped up everything that he had. He brought it back to the shop and he poured it out before the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper, looking at him sternly, carefully counted every coin, and it added up to $1. He said, "Son, you've paid the price. You can have your boat." The boy scoops up his boat and he walks out of the shop so happy, so excited. And he's hugging the boat and he's kissing the boat. And he's saying, you are twice loved, boat. Why? Once because I made you, but twice because I bought you. I believe today that you, as the people of God, are twice loved. Once because God made you. Once because he created you. Once because God formed you in your mother's womb. The Bible says he rejoices over you with dancing. God loves you so much. He knows the number of every hair on your head. Or every hair that you've lost from your head. Come on, somebody. God loves you so much because he made you. But not only that, the proof of that love is that Jesus went to the cross and the ransom has been paid and he poured out all that he had, all of his heart and all of his life there on the cross. He took the punishment and the shopkeeper, the devil, had us in his grip. We were lost, but now we are found. And Jesus paid the price. He qualified. He poured out his blood and he paid the price for you and I. And we are now twice loved, once because he made us and twice because he bought us. The ransom was paid. Not only that, the curse was removed. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Before Jesus came into your life, if you are born of the Spirit of God, you are no longer living under a curse. I need to tell you that because I see a lot of Christians who are broke down, busted, and disgusted, living like the rest of the world, and don't even realize that they are no longer bound by the curse of the law. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be disgraced. You don't have to live where you're broke down, busted, and disgusted. No, you are no longer cursed. You are now blessed by Almighty God. In Christ Jesus, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You don't have to live cursed anymore. He has redeemed you. He's bought you out of the curse of the law. You don't have to be cursed. You can be blessed. The ransom was paid. The curse was removed and the release was given. See, many people don't realize that now that we are in Christ Jesus now, that we don't have to live in the prison cell any longer. But see, it'd be one thing if Jesus opened the door. If he removed the chains that bound you and you just sat there in a cell. Oh, I'm free, but I'm here. No, the release has been given. Jesus has overcome. He is raised again to life, and now he's swung the doors wide open, and we can walk in the wide open spaces of the ability and the grace of God that he's given to us. And yet the devil would like to keep you in darkness, wouldn't he? He'd like to keep you bound. He'd like to keep you in that cell. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Look at this. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Notice that the devil, he was the one who had the rightful rule and authority here on the earth. And he kept us in fear and he kept us bound. How? Through death. And yet Jesus beat him by his death. Look at the next verse, verse 15. And release. Oh, I don't think you got it. And release. I still don't think you got it. Maybe I'll try over here. And release. One more time for everybody. Did you hear that? And release. Release what? Release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer bound. Jesus has freed you. He's redeemed you. He's removed the curse. And now he has opened up the door for you to live in his blessings. See, the resurrection is proof of the redemption. Without it, we'd be scratching our heads wondering if it stuck. Did it really work? I mean, I don't know. Jesus said he was going to die, but without the resurrection, we don't know if it ever really worked. But the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die, but on the third day, I will rise again. That was the proof that the price had been paid. The fact that he showed up with the nail-pierced hands and the feet and the hole in his side showed it is he who is dead and yet is alive again. Jesus shows us that the resurrection is proof of the redemption. If not, then we're to be the most pitied of all people, aren't we? See, without the resurrection, We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not risen, then your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. See, if we were just gathering today, and there was no resurrection, no proof that it worked, no proof that Jesus had paid the price, we might as well go home. We might as well shut the doors of this place and stop everything. Go out there and have some fun while we have it. But this verse is written in the negative. Look at what it says. If Christ has not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But let's flip it over for a second and let's read it in the positive, shall we? Since Christ is risen. Come on, somebody. Since Christ is risen, your faith is powerful and you are no longer in your sins. Because of the resurrection, you have now been freed from your sins. Look at verse number 57. Look at what it says. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what did he give us victory over? He gave us victory over sin. He gave us victory over sickness. He gave us victory over death. He gave us victory over the devil. He gave us the victory in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be a loser. You are an overcomer. God has given you the victory. Somebody shout his praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.